You turn again in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. We can read again verses 26 and 27. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Particularly what our Lord says when he took bread and blessed it, and he took the cup and gave thanks. Matthew, as we've read, it says he took the bread and blessed it, and then when he took the cup, he gave thanks. Mark says he took the bread and he blessed, and he took the cup and gave thanks. And then in Luke and Corinthians, it says he took bread and gave thanks, took the bread and gave thanks, and the cup likewise. And what I want us to think about is our Lord's praising his Father, giving thanks to his Father as he took these elements, as he instituted the sacrament. It says he blessed. He didn't put a blessing upon the bread. Don't think that he took the bread and he blessed it. He put the blessing on the bread as if we could receive a blessing by mechanically taking the bread. But rather it is that he praised God. He praised God for his goodness, just as he praised God as he gave thanks. There's the same interchange between blessed and gave thanks in the accounts we have of the feeding of the 5,000. But these two words, they give us a slightly different emphasis on this one thing, which is giving thanks, which is praising God for his goodness. I want for us to think why our Lord gave thanks. For what our Lord gave thanks as he took the bread, as he took the wine. And first of all, we can say that he gave thanks as he received the bread and the wine. It's almost so simple and straightforward as to not need to be said. And yet, sometimes those things which are simple and straightforward, we're in danger of not noticing. But he received these blessings as blessings from his Father. It's a danger, isn't there, that we count as ordinary those things which we receive often. And we forget to recognize, we fail to recognize the gracious hand of God in giving to us. He took bread and he thanked his Father for that bread. And he took wine and he praised his Father for that wine. The goodness of God is demonstrated in his gracious provision for you at every moment and in every way, in everything. We see here our Saviour's humble dependence. We see here our Saviour's appreciation of his Father and of his Father's love in every detail of life. Remember the account we have of the temptation in the wilderness after his baptism. And he fasted. And he hungered, of course, because he had not been eating. After that period, we're told, after that fast, he hungered. And the devil came and tempted him. "Turn this stone into bread." And he refused. Why did he refuse? He refused because he would wait upon his Father. He would receive the gracious provision of God. Isn't this what he taught us as his disciples? The Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer the Lord taught for the disciples. It's a disciples' prayer, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. And we are to make that prayer, make that request, to seek everything from the hand of God. But having received from the hand of God, we are to give thanks. To give thanks in all things. We see the same at the feeding of the 5,000. I've already mentioned that. That he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Remember, he said to the disciples, "What have you?" And they said, "We've got nothing. We can't feed this multitude. Go see what you have." They come back. And 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples were really saying, "See, we have nothing." And what was our Lord's response to this? There's nothing. Well, our Lord's response was different because he saw in the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he saw the goodness of God. And so he gave thanks. He praised God. He received. And having received from the hand of God, he distributed. Our Savior recognizes the goodness of God in providence. He's the true worshipper of Psalm 40, isn't he? "I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me did incline my voice and cry to hear. My Lord is the one who has heard and who has provided, who has given and who is good." He does not conduct himself with any sense of entitlement. He does not assert himself. I want you to notice this, his condescension. I want you to notice this because we see here something of his faithfulness. We see something of his character, of the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his faithfulness in every detail. This is the one who is able to say, "All power is given unto me." And yet, there is a meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is not weakness. Weakness is an absence of power, an absence of strength. Meekness is when that power, when that strength is restrained, is not asserted. He's not distracted by the increasing intensity, the escalating intensity. So we read on, we read about him in Gethsemane. And the horror of what was before him. The distress, the physical distress, the mental anguish, the spiritual anguish. And yet, in the midst of it all, he remembers to thank God as he receives bread, as he receives wine. His holy perfection, really, that's what I'm wanting you to see here. And I want you to see that because the truth is, you and I, we don't have that holy perfection. The truth is, you and I, there are many times that we forget. We fail to thank God, to recognize His mercy, and to praise Him for His goodness. For every mouthful of food, for every drink to refresh, the Lord's mercy to you. I want you to see His holy perfection because you need to remember But his righteousness is the righteousness which is imputed to you. His righteousness is the righteousness that's imputed to you. In our Lord's death, there is atonement made for sin. The debt that is owed. The deficit that there is because of our failure to do. But not only is sin removed, but also there is righteousness added. The sinner is not simply taken out of sin, as it were. But the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, his faithfulness in fulfilling the law and every detail of the law. There is a positive holiness which belongs to the believer through Christ. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, Paul says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He gave thanks as he received the bread. He gave thanks as he received the wine. And you and I, we're to remember that, because we are to nurture a sense of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for those blessings that you see and that you recognize, and even those blessings that you do not recognize as blessings. There's many experiences in life and they don't feel like a blessing. They are but a trial. And yet if we remember the faithfulness of God and His wisdom, His sovereignty, His providence, surely in all things we are to praise Him, though we don't understand it. How can this be a blessing? How can this be good? And yet, is it not so? Is it not so? And maybe today, as you prepare to sit at the Lord's table, as you think of all that you have failed to do, as you begin to remember what you have forgotten, because there's been other times you've sat here, and you sat here, and with conviction, with determination, with love, with desire, you said, "Lord, now on I will be faithful." And you sit here today and you think, "But I've forgotten this, and I've forgotten that." As you remember what you've forgotten, also remember that the Lord, your righteousness, He never forgot. He never forgot. Not in any detail. Well, first of all, He gave thanks as He received the bread and wine. But secondly, He gave thanks as He realized His desire. He gave thanks as He realized His desire. In Luke's account, he tells us that our Lord gave thanks at the beginning of the meal, the beginning of the Passover. This is at the end of the Passover. So thanks has already been given for the Lord's provision. Thanks has already been given for the Passover and all that it speaks about. But Luke gives us also another detail. He says in chapter 22 and verse 15, he describes how our Lord said to the disciples as He sat at that meal. He said, "With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." With desire, I have desired. There is a strength to this desire. There is an intensity to this desire. Our Lord so wanted this particular thing that He might eat this Passover with His disciples. He might be together with them at this time, here on the eve of His death. And so He gives thanks as He realizes His desire. as he receives from the hand of God that thing that he has sought his Father's goodness to him in this also. Here he is, and he's at the final staging post on the road to redemption. For he will leave this place, and he will go to Gethsemane, and there in Gethsemane he will be betrayed, and he will be arrested and taken. His determination to be there, his waiting there for Judas to come and those that would come with him to seize him, those that would abuse him and destroy him. In Hebrews we're told to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured a cross, despising the shame. There was a determination. The Jews, of course, had said that they would take him and they would destroy him, but not on the feast day. Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We must do this quietly in a corner once the crowds have gone. But our Lord will be taken now. It will be in the Lord's time, not in their time. And here he is at this final staging post. And he's here at this final staging post on the road to redemption. And he's here with his disciples. This is the fruit of his ministry. This is a small number. And yet it's not an insignificant number. For they are his. And they are here with him. And this is what he wanted. To be with them. To be with those for whom he was dying. To be with those who he was saving. His high priestly prayer, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. None of them is lost. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He gave thanks to God, for his disciples were present. His disciples had been kept. They are a vivid expression of the purpose of his ministry, of his incarnation, of his humiliation, of his suffering, of his death. And they are a gift to him from his Father. I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. The Father gave them to him. And they are a loved gift. Not a lovely gift. They're sinners. Sinners who need saved. But they are a gift which speaks of the love of the Father for the Son. Because in receiving them, in redeeming them, the Son is revealed. Something of his glory is revealed that is not otherwise seen. In receiving them and redeeming them, the Son is exalted. We can say there is a degree of grace, a degree of mercy, a degree of glory that is not otherwise seen. Not otherwise seen in all the works of God. And so he gives thanks to his Father as he realizes his desire. These disciples which speak of his Father's love But also it speaks of our Saviour's own love, doesn't it? His love for his Father. And his love even. His love for them. His love for you. His love for all who call upon him, who trust in him, who belong to him, you're united to him by faith. John says, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We say, just as the angel which comes to strengthen him in the garden, so this Passover, so this time, so this sacrament with his disciples is a means of strengthening him. Because it testifies surely to the success of redemption. The Passover, it speaks of the faithfulness of God in saving his people through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. He looks back at the Passover and he can rejoice with an understanding which no one else had, for he understood in a particular way all that was symbolized and all that it included. And in the commencement of the Lord's Supper, he understands also all that that symbolizes, all that he means, and the success of it. The certainty and the success. He gives thanks as he receives from his Father. He gives thanks as he realizes his desire. But he gives thanks also as he relates the gospel through the taking of this bread and breaking it. And in this wine, which speaks of his blood poured out and shed. He gives thanks as he relates the gospel. The gospel will be demonstrated, it will be illustrated, it will be seen as he presents himself in Gethsemane. Here I am, take me, let these go their way. Have me, deliver them. The gospel will be seen upon the cross, as he there lays down his life. Yes, they destroyed him, we can say, but yet there was something more than that, wasn't there? It was he that laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him, but it was given up. But this is the final preaching of the gospel. And he gives thanks as he preaches the gospel. And he preaches the gospel in this vivid way because there is this visual aid to demonstrate and to emphasize what is to happen. And so he thanks his Father for these emblems which are used. It's ordinary bread. It's ordinary wine, given a sacred use. It's holy use, but not holy bread. A holy use, but not holy wine. The Roman Catholic Church, of course, they believe that the bread becomes the body, the wine becomes the blood. And that's why they don't use normal bread. They use wafers of bread so that there'll be no crumbs. Because what you do if a crumb of the bread, which has become the body, falls to the ground? It's ordinary bread. And it remains bread. And yet, it has a holy use. Because that bread speaks of his body, which is broken. That wine speaks of his blood, which is poured out. So in partaking of the sacrament, we receive of Christ not by our mouths that take the bread and take the wine, but by faith. as we take the bread and as we take the wine, we receive Christ. His death is imminent. He knows what the disciples have not understood, which the disciples cannot understand, though he has said to them. Of course, the disciples flee. And the disciples are in despair. Broken men hiding in an upper room after the death, after the defeat of the Lord Jesus as they see it. And what he's saying to them as he takes the bread and as he takes the wine is his death is not defeat, but here is an emblem of his triumph. He broke the bread. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The wages of sin is death. And in his death, life is given. For sin is dealt with. Because the justice and the judgment of God are satisfied. He makes atonement. The wrath of God, the just wrath of a holy God, is put away, is propitiated. Not put away in that it is undone, but it is satisfied, it is poured out. It's poured out upon him. And this is not abstract. It is broken for you. It is shed for you. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to them that they might receive it and that they might feed upon it. He's saying, "This is your meat and drink. This is your strength. Not your physical food. This is your spiritual food. It's not the elements. It's what these elements symbolize. His dying in their place. His substitutionary atonement." As he dies for sinners. Self-evident, isn't it? Because you wouldn't die for a righteous man. And yet that's something we need to emphasize, that it's for sinners. Because your own conscience testifies against you. And you fear that because you're a sinner, how can you draw near to a holy God? How can you dare to expose yourself before God? "This is my body broken for you." If you were not a sinner, there'd be no need for his body to be broken for you. There'd be no need for his blood to be shed for you. But because you are a sinner, and because of the mercy and the grace and the love of God, broken, shed for you, receive, take, eat, live. See, our Lord, he holds out his own body. Dear Lord, he holds out this cup of his own blood. No, it's not his body. It's a symbol of his body. He's there in his body. When he says, "This is my body," it's not his body, but this represents his body. He holds out his body. The very thing he would do upon the cross as the sacrifice, but not only as a sacrifice, because he is also the priest, the great high priest. All the priests before and their work had spoken, had illustrated what would be done by the great high priest. And so he comes as a priest and he presents himself as a sacrifice. And the priest holds out the sacrifice before God. Enters into the holiest of holies with the blood of the sacrifice. He gives thanks as he preaches the gospel, as he relates the gospel to them. And he gives thanks also, surely, in that he knows the sufficiency of this gospel. That this is enough. His broken body, his shed blood, his atoning death. This is enough to save. It's not something that we need to remember. That this is enough to save. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you are to live well. Oh yes, there are good works that have been prepared beforehand for you to do, but they do not add to your salvation. They demonstrate your salvation. They prove your salvation. They reveal to a world out there that you are saved. But it is in Christ alone that salvation is to be found. And so we give thanks to his Father as he related to them the gospel, broken body, shed blood, atoning death. We see him trembling in the garden. We see the pressure, the distress, Gethsemane, the olive press, and here he is pressed before the judgment of God. And yet, what do we see? A readiness, a willingness, a thankfulness as he gives himself. A thankfulness and anticipation at this point. Thankful in anticipation. Thankful there. In a moment of time upon Calvary, a point in history as he laid down his life. As he gave himself, and as he gives himself today, in word and in sacrament. Surely then, you and I should be thankful. Thankful for such a Saviour. We speak of the Lord's Supper. There are some who refer to this as the Eucharist. That word comes from the Greek word, which is used in the Gospel here for giving thanks. He gave thanks. But surely you and I, we should give thanks. We should give thanks as we sit and as we share together and as we remember his death. And we should continue giving thanks. Our life surely should be a giving of thanks for our Saviour and for his love. Amen. Let's pray. We give thanks, our God, for that provision which has been made for us in Christ Jesus. We give thanks, our God, that the gospel is not the work of man nor the wisdom of man, but this is the wisdom of God. For who would have conceived of such a thing? But redemption would be worked out in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ in his atoning death. That he would fulfill all righteousness. That he would suffer and die. That he would bear our sin upon the cross. Enable us, we pray, to understand this, to remember this, to be looking unto Him. Deliver us from distraction. Deliver us from forgetfulness. Deliver us, O Lord, from self. We praise You for the abundance of Your mercy. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.